Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
them. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here we go. Old school.
All right.
Back to the basics.
I'll be the bass.
Come on.
I think I'll go for a walk outside now. The summer sun's calling my name. I hear you now. I just can't stay inside all day.
It's cold.
I gotta get out. Give me some of those rays. Everybody's smiling. It's a sunshine day. Everybody's laughing. It's sunshine day. Everybody seems so happy today. It's a sunshine day.
There it is. Paul Brill from Patriots Football Weekly, patriots.com, sunshine.com, joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Happy New Year, Paulie Paul.
Happy New Year to you guys. Good to have you back.
Good to have you back, my man. Start with this question. As I start off with
some of us never left, Mike.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah.
The panel, I asked the panel to lead off the program. I'll ask you, what's your confidence in the Patriots as a Super Bowl champion?
That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
It's
I don't
a bit
have...
time
yeah, no, I was going to say, let's put that right through the Felger and Maz processor. That's
I don't have a tremendous amount of confidence as a Super Bowl team, but I also would say that I feel like they are playing better as a team, and the field doesn't overly concern me. If you're asking me yes or no, I'm going to say no right now, but I do feel like I would not dismiss their chances.
So when you say playing better, you do... you know, evaluate week 16 and 17.
I just think in general, they've had some slip-ups. There's no doubt about it. But I think that defensively, they've played a little bit better. And yes, part of that is the competition. You'd be a fool to not acknowledge the fact that Buffalo and the Jets have no offense. And in the Jets' case, I mean, even their defense, which wasn't that good to begin with, was playing without all the guys. So you can't dismiss the opponent. But I feel like they've sort of... they got something going, I think, with the complementary part of the game where, you know, the defense is taking the ball away. I think they're fifth in the league in turnover ratio, third in interceptions. Sometimes that can become contagious, and you can take the ball away. And I think the offense needs a little of that assistance because it hasn't been quite as potent as they have been. So I do like some of the elements of the complementary aspect of the game that I've seen.
What's your confidence level in Tom Brady?
I don't worry about Brady in general. I don't think this was his best season, but I also don't think, you know, he's going to be the reason why you can't win. Well, you can't win because Brady can't do it anymore. I haven't seen any signs of that. If you protect him, particularly early in the game, I think he'll be fine.
Okay, but so that's not really the context. I mean, is he fine? He's fine. But in the past here, the recent past, right? I'm not going back to 03 and 04, but recently, basically, there's been at least one playoff game every run where you've had to put 35 points on the board to get through.
I don't feel great about that.
Okay, so if they're called on to do that, you know, are they still that kind of team? And I asked earlier, what do they hang their hat on? What are they great at? You know, because even the years they were down defensively, they had a great passing game, right? Or something. I don't think they're a great passing team anymore. They're good, but they're not great. I still don't think their defense is great. And if you're telling me they're all of a sudden a great running team, I mean...
No, they're not.
They're not, but even if they are, then I tell you that that's still not going to win it for you. So, like, that's sort of my... You know, can they put 35 points on the board at the drop of a hat like they used to?
Definitely not at the drop of a hat. I mean, could it happen in a playoff game? Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to dismiss that as a possibility. But if you're going into a game saying the Patriots will score 35-plus today because that's what they do, you haven't watched the balance of the 16 games. Yes, it could happen. They did it a few times during the course of the year, but I would be skeptical of them getting that high without help from the defense or special teams, whatever the case may be.
I was just looking it up. Do you know where they rank in defensive scoring?
Like
meaning
10,
points
9?
Allowed?
Yeah.
They usually end up top 10.
Yeah.
Seventh.
Yeah, and that, I mean, they gave...
Seventh.
They were 12th going into the last week. They gave up 3, so... I mean, the AFC East will do wonders for your stats.
Oh, will it ever? You know, I can't believe I'm reciting Carl from Norwell. 6-4 outside the division. When you hear it in those terms, the Patriots, 6-4 outside of Miami, the Jets, and the Bills. Yeah! 6-4, that sucks.
Yeah, but 4-0 against playoff teams, too. So, I mean, they have the best record against playoff teams.
You had to
teams.
Ruin that, huh, Paul?
Well, nice. I mean, I am sunshine.com. I'm here for a reason.
Day.
I just want to provide a little balance for this program. I mean, it's a new year. Let's start it off right.
This is why it's sunshine.com.
Correct.
Very good, exactly. All right, a few other items here. A few other small items that we haven't gotten to yet today, so I want your thoughts on it. Gronkowski, your thoughts on how he has looked down the stretch? Do you believe with the consensus that this is it for him, his swan song, and what's your confidence level in him?
I agree with the consensus that this is it, at least in New England. I can't imagine he's back, certainly under that those kinds of contract numbers. I do think that he has a chance to be an impact player in a playoff game. I just don't believe in Gronk, you know, the entity of the dominant player for three games. I don't see that happening. He made a couple of plays on Sunday. Had another one that was wiped out on a real ticky-tack. I'll continue with my sunshine perspective, a really bad call on Dwayne Allen. But to me, that was also sort of indicative of where he is now. They need to scheme him open. And that was definitely a scheme kind of play where
and I'll tell you,
they wanted Allen to go down and create the interference.
If we're talking about the same play, you know, when he broke it, right?
It was called back. Yeah.
The way he ran still sort of stood out to me.
Yeah.
The guy's tiptoes or something. It wasn't freight train.
No. It was. I don't want to use the word clumsy because that's too strong.
A little ginger. It was something.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't exactly fluid.
Yeah.
But you know, the play I liked the most in that game for him was the ball he reached down and grabbed
off
his shins. You know, and they might need a play like that on third down that, you know, the other team's going to say, oh, geez, we're going to get off the field. We haven't played reasonably well. Oh, he's never going to – oh, what a catch he just made. And all of a sudden, a drive stays alive, and that could be important in a playoff game. That I could still see him doing. Three or four catches. Is he going to be, you know, 8 for 110 and 3 touchdowns? I just don't see that kind of performance based on what I saw this year.
Final issue, Josh McDaniels and these coaching interviews. He's going to Green Bay on Friday to talk with them. Do you think he's gone? Do you think that's a good fit? Do you think that – and most importantly, what I really want to hit on is, do you think that McDaniels leaving, if you think he's leaving, does that speak to conditions having changed at Gillette with Belichick and Brady and their futures here?
Yeah, I still don't know about the whole pre-arrangement with Belichick and McDaniels and whether or not they had. I never really bought that, as you know. I will say I don't think that they're going. In
you don't think McDaniels is leaving?
Let's not forget about Brian Flores, who has had, I believe, reportedly 4 different interviews.
I was gonna say 5 or 6.
Set up. So a lot of teams want to talk to him. Evidently, he got very close in Arizona last year, sort of a candidate that came out of nowhere. And I think he was impressive in that. I think a lot of people want to talk to him, too. Those two guys, I just don't know what McDaniels. I feel like I've had this show with you guys for like 4 years in a row.
Because you have.
And I'm just gotten to the point where when he goes, you guys can let me know that Josh McDaniels took a job, but I'm kind of bored with it. You know, I don't really think he wants to leave.
Yeah, I think he already screwed up. He should have taken the Indy job.
Why is he taking the interview then? Why do we go through this?
I don't know why he does it. I don't know why he did what he did last year. I always preface this with my disclaimer, how much I like the guy. Personal, I do. I find him a very engaging guy to talk to. I think he's done a really nice job as the offensive coordinator. Obviously, it helps to have Tom Brady as your quarterback, but I like a lot of things about him. I don't like this nature where he can't seem to make up his mind. And full disclosure, I thought that he would suffer for what he did to Indianapolis at the last minute, and I couldn't have been more wrong because he's very much in line for all these jobs.
Just goes to show you how desperate the league is for coaches, for crying out loud, that you could pull a stunt like that and still be at the top of everyone's list the next year around.
Left no mark.
Yeah, look, maybe he's just one of these guys that loves to have his thigh stroked.
Well, that's what I kind of wonder, and that's why I don't think he's going. I think he likes to have his name involved in all the jobs, and his name is circulating out there, and then ultimately, I'm just going to stay here. And
he effed up by not taking the Colts job. He did. He effed up.
Is the Colts job better than the Packers job?
The Colts job now is looking pretty good, if you ask me.
Is it better than the Packers job?
Did you watch any of the Indy game by any chance?
It's not.
You don't think the Colts job is better, right? You don't think the Colts have a better roster than Green Bay?
Green Bay's roster is fine.
You don't think the Colts is better?
It might be better. I mean, you would know better than me. But I don't think.
Why wouldn't you watch football just as much
as
I do?
No, the Packers. I don't. You
know the Packers better than most.
You know the Colts roster better than I do. The Packers, I'm not telling you they're the most talented team in the league, but that's not their issue. They have players. They have players. The offense fell apart. The quarterback took a step back, and the coach sucked. You know, I mean, if they get the right coaching and it all comes together, they're right there. That's a good job. And would I rather work for a community, a nonprofit organization, or some drug addict?
Oh, why? Well, that's
a big one.
I'm just telling you right now,
hey, Quentin.
Indy's get a quarterback who's playing like one of the top three guys in the league right now.
Oh, he's tremendous. I'm a big Andrew Luck guy. I'm just
McDaniels effed that up.
I'm more curious, we don't have to branch off here, but real quick, Green Bay, you thought that their talent had deteriorated a little bit, and it wasn't just about Rodgers. You know how much I don't like Rodgers, but I thought it was about more than just that.
It's Rodgers' excuse making.
Yes.
It's what I hear for Brady, frankly. Oh, look at his weapons, look what he's surrounded with. And they absolutely didn't. No one blames Rodgers for anything. And so, look at what he's surrounded with. It's fine. I'm going to tell you, it's the best, but it ain't whatever they 6-9-1 or whatever. They got a hell of a lot more talent than that. That's not the issue on the team. They're fine there. Would Josh be a good fit there?
I think he would, because I think he has experience dealing with that kind of a quarterback, right? He's played, he's coached with a strong-willed veteran guy who isn't going to get pushed around by the coach. Like, he's every bit as much the coordinator that Josh is. Now, you could make an argument that McDaniels was there from the start, so he's grown with Brady. That makes it a little easier. But, and by all accounts, Rodgers can be difficult. I just think he has experience dealing with difficult quarterbacks, and I think you'd be able to get the most out of him.
But if you're betting, Josh is going nowhere.
This is not based on anything. Until he takes a job, I'm going to say he's not going anywhere.
Which makes it all the more aggravating.
Class flirt.
Really, right? A tease.
Yeah, class flirt.
He's a...
Yeah, tease.
Yeah, Tony couldn't close.
I can't say initials, but you know what he is.
Well, no, what's the first letter of coach?
He's a CT.
That's why he's a tease. He's a tease.
He's a coach tease.
What time we got?
Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
How's it going?
Hey, you fired up?
I hear you're really good.
Josh is so hot.
So anyway, all right, so those
are... Hey, Quentin, what's up, man?
Those are all your football items on the table. I promise, right to your calls after these words.
Hey, you fired up?
Felger and Mez. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mez.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Green Bay Packers are going to cast a wide net, probably interviewing 8 or 10 or even 12 candidates. They put in for both Patriots coordinators, Josh McDaniels, and then Brian Flores, the de facto defensive coordinator who called the plays this year. And as far as McDaniels, considering what happened last year, this is not going to be something where he's going to interview for like 4 jobs. It's going to be very specific, very targeted, and obviously he's waiting, of course, still for the right job.
Very specific, very targeted. I'm telling you, the people in Green Bay, the word in Green Bay is that Josh has been the guy for a while. So we'll see.
Is that what your underground sources say?
That's what my very above
ground. So maybe I'll change my mind. You held out the inside information.
Well, it's really not inside.
You sound a little Jimmy Stewart. Cheesehead
message boards, things of that nature. So anyway,
Felger is an owner.
To your calls, 617-779-0985. Daniel in Quincy. Hi, Dan.
You know, I find it ironic, Felger, that you would sit there and trash the Patriots' victory over the Packers and then just say a few minutes ago that it's not a talent issue.
It's not.
So which one is it?
Well, hold on. In football, it's not just, it's not just about talent. They were playing horribly together. They were horribly coached. The quarterback had checked out. They had a lot of issues, but talent wasn't the first one.
That's not why I called. But, it's funny. You qualified the win against the Packers, and then I agree with you. The reason why I thought it was a good victory is because they played an opposing quarterback, which they usually get killed on, in Aaron Rodgers, who I think is still an excellent quarterback. Great quarterback.
Dan, it wasn't a quality win. I think Green Bay was 0-8 on the road this year.
Okay. Yes. So and there's
6-9-1 record. Right. It is what it is.
All right. The Miami game, I agree with everything you said about the Miami game. They deserve to lose that game, but you left out 2 important factors in that game. The kicker missed a field goal and an extra point. That's 4 points.
Nice.
If he makes one of the 2, the field goal, they win the game. The extra point, if he misses the field goal and makes the extra point, then maybe Belichick is running another play on 4th down, making Miami go 70 yards with 20 seconds from the 5 to tie the game on a field goal, not win it, which may have led his decision to do what he did. But anyways, the Pittsburgh game, I got a lot out of that too, because hey, you know, Pittsburgh went right down the field. I was still hurting from the Miami game in that game, and I can only imagine how the players felt. They came, they took the opening kickoff down the field. I said, this team is done. Patriots answer with a touchdown. They got the stop, two sacks on the next drive. The next two plays, Gordon 19 yards, Devlin 11, then Edelman drops the pass. It blew up the whole drive. And then they stayed at 14-7 for about till the third quarter.
Danny.
Yes, sir.
What's your point of the call?
The point of the call is I still think there's a little Patriots left in them. You know, I looked at the points allowed. There's only a 2.5-point difference between the feared Baltimore Ravens, who supposedly has the best defense since the Bears. They are 20.3, the Patriots. They're at 17-9.
Okay, so let me stop you there.
That's a big difference. Just for starters, that's a big difference.
2 points a game? I mean, yeah it is.
On average, yes, that's a big difference. But the other part I would say is we're going to a specific drop on one play by Julian Edelman. I'm saying that's why they only scored 10 points.
Let me tell you.
Is that how far we've fallen in terms of what we think of the Patriots?
Drops were a big part of that
huge
Pittsburgh
issue all season.
But all season, that's who they've been. That's who Edelman's been.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to say. This is the problem now, is that they've deteriorated.
And that's no fluke. And Edelman's been dropping balls all year.
And I know the play Danny's talking about. It was enormous because I think they went down. They did. They scored right away. And they got stopped the next drive because Edelman dropped a very easy pass. Otherwise, they would have been moving again. But what would the old Patriots have done? Okay, so instead of scoring 45 today, we're only going to score 38.
Right.
Not 10, because we dropped a pass in the first quarter. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, like, absolutely.
That, to me, is the difference. And the numbers are what the numbers are. The numbers say the Patriots offense is one of the top 10 in the league, too. Have you seen that this year?
Well, I mean, if you tell me they're 10th, maybe.
What are they in offense there, Tony?
I can check.
Google it.
Look it up.
Google
it, man.
Well, but and he's also hitting something that I've heard a lot, too, and that is, well, if they just defend the Hail Mary play against Miami, they're the one seed, which is true, but he's also leaving out the fact that you deserve to lose that game. You deserve to lose the game. That play was not a fluke. You had the wrong personnel on the field. The ball did not take a crazy bounce or anything. They executed it. You had the wrong people on the field. Furthermore, as Danny said, you missed kicks, you screwed up the clock at the end of the second quarter, your defense allowed Miami to score all day long, you deserve to lose that game, you deserve to be 11-5. I don't want to hear about if you make that play, you're the one seed. You deserve to be 11-5.
Fourth in offense?
Fourth in points per game.
Okay, so did it feel like that?
No. So, I mean, I'll name off the top of my head six offenses I'd rather have, right?
Well, I'm sure the top three are in some order.
Rams, Saints, KC.
Kansas City, Rams, and New Orleans.
Okay, so, I mean, I just said that. Now I have to come up with three more. Chargers?
I would say the Colts.
Oh, Chargers are a good one.
I'd rather have the Colts offense.
I'd rather have the Colts offense.
You know what? Indy, yeah. I'm telling you, Luck has opened my eyes, man. He's back. He is back.
So I'd rather have the Colts. I'd rather have the Chargers. You know, who in the NFC would I rather have other than the Patriots offense?
Let me think about that.
Well, Saints are there for sure.
Yeah, I don't know if they're really...
That's the first one hosts aren't listening in 2019.
Oh, did I just do that?
No.
Murray. That's
a lie, because I was driving in, and they were specifically talking Celtics about Gordon Hayward, and you go, no, Brown had a good game against San Antonio.
I heard it.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you, Paul.
Second one of 2019.
That was actually a twofer.
I doubled up on that one. Yeah.
You were talking about Tatum. I thought you were talking about Brown. No, we were talking about Hayward, but that's okay.
617-779-0985. Steven Barucka. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, what's going on? You guys are back. Another show, and they're picking individual stats.
Yes.
Tucker, why don't you stick to the original facts? This is simple as this. They are definitely not a championship roster, no doubt about it. But in the NFL, it is no doubt it is a week-to-week league. No doubt about it. It's a week-to-week league. And when it comes down to the playoffs, being a new animal with the Patriots, it's one stat so far. It's 11 wins. Now it's, you know, 0-0.
Okay, but Steve, can I tell you something, Steve? No. Let me. Their history, if you want to go with their track record, when they've had less than stellar regular seasons, it's caught up to win the playoffs. In other words, when they've proven themselves to be one of the best teams in the league over 16 games, that's when they go. When they are over 16 games, something a little less than that, they get tripped up somewhere.
Correct.
And this is the kind of year that we're coming off of. So I mean, that's it.
To me, that you know, again, we can use all the numbers we want. I would say just watch them. You get a certain feeling, and really, you know what it really is about? Confidence. Their ability to execute in certain circumstances and situations where you look at them and say, they can do that. I don't feel that way about this team. I don't feel about that confident about their ability to perform under duress or on the road. I don't. And so what happens in the playoffs when they face a big spot, whether it's at home or on the road? I don't know. In the past, I felt good about that. Now I don't.
And to me, the Jets game, and I'm throwing up both week 16 and 17 for all the bad stuff you could say about them against Buffalo. I'll throw that out too. Funky division game. Those happen. Fine. I mean, if I'm going to be consistent, the Bills were the low end. The Jets were the high end. I'm going to wipe them both out and go back to Pittsburgh because that was a game we all said all season long will tell us who they are. And so that told me who they are. Just a little short.
It wasn't a great performance.
Okay, and so that's just being consistent. That's what we said.
Yeah, I particularly like the throw the quarterback made down in the red zone off his back foot getting picked off inside the 10 at Pittsburgh. That was good. That was a nice throw.
We've got so Max in the truck. Hi, Max.
Disrespectful.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy New Year.
Same to you.
So I'm very confident in the Patriots. I think the only team that really scares me out of the AFC is the Baltimore Ravens. That defense is pretty good, but I think if we can, I'm really confident, and it's going to be the Patriots, New Orleans Saints in the Super Bowl. You heard it here first.
Okay, babe, we'll see you in Atlanta. Here's how I handicap it, Paul, is that in a vacuum, like, I cannot see myself. How could I possibly pick the Texans over the Patriots? How could I possibly say that the Chargers, the L.A. Chargers, the San Diego Chargers, the softest team in the National Football League in my lifetime, is going to travel cross-country in a 12-degree day in the AFC Championship game and beat you. Like, I can't see myself believing those teams are going to win, but I'm going to pick them because I think the Pats are going to get tripped up, and I don't know where it's coming. I don't know how it's going to come, so I'll just pick against them every week.
You're taking the field.
Until it happens, I'm taking the field. And their losses this year have not been predictable. Like, I didn't think they were going to lose to the Lions. I don't think they're going to freaking lose that Miami game, even though they have the track record down there. I mean, their losses are sometimes hard to predict, and that's where it's coming in the playoffs. Because I think in a vacuum, they're not that good, and someone's going to get them.
And the Chargers are interesting, too. Right? I mean, they don't really have much of a home field advantage. They went 7-1 on the road. You know, for all the talk that we've had this year about going 3-5 and just not being able to be tough enough to get it done, well, this is a team that went on the road and won 7 times.
And won at Pittsburgh.
And won at Pittsburgh. Kansas City. At Kansas
you beat
City.
Beat me too. I was just going to say against some good teams.
Good wins, right? To your point, you know, the cross country, they would have to have gone cross country twice because they're going to go to Baltimore this week.
Right.
And if they win and the Colts win, they have to come back to play you. So I don't know about the Chargers. I don't know how good they are. I don't know if I trust Phillip Rivers in a big spot. I know he's tough, and I know he's not going to choke, so to speak, but I also don't know if he's going to play great because I don't know how good he is in the playoffs.
The point is I can pick apart all these teams. I don't believe in the AFC either. I think it sucks. I just don't believe in you. So, I mean, so where does that leave me?
Why is it me? Like, how come the Bruins are us, but the Patriots are you?
I learned that from you, by the way.
You need to embrace the Patriots more.
There's only one team that I would say is a little different than the others in the AFC, and that's Kansas City. Because of that offense, and they're at home if they win. So they're guaranteed. Okay? Like, if Kansas City's at home, I think people are going to have a hard time going in there and beating the Chiefs.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts and Paul Perillo right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Second and goal from the 16th. Snap to Brady. Stands in. Pressured. Throws a high lob to the near side. It's up for grabs, and it's going to be intercepted by Hayden. If he came down in bounds, he leaps over 2 Patriots, and he lands inside the 4. And a turnover for the Steelers to celebrate, posing for a picture in the end zone. And meanwhile, Julian Edelman rises limping away from the play for the Patriots. Brady was pressured. He tossed it high in
Edelman's
the air.
Down. Worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
Hell, wow. I'm sorry I missed that one. Worst throw in 10 years by Tom Brady.
I mean, it's up there.
That was pretty bad.
It was a garbage throw. He had one at the end of a half against a team two. Who's that? Indy? Like, I can't remember. There was
no,
one
was
about 5 years ago.
It was one Indy.
Oh, was that
Indy.
Awful? Totally that throw was that. Awful.
Totally remember that one.
Right?
Totally. Totally.
Just totally chucked it up there.
Yes.
And completely crap bag throw. And I want to say, like, the next week at halftime, Belichick made him take a knee because he wouldn't let him throw the ball. So, but this one in Pittsburgh, garbage. What a horrendous throw. Bledsonian is how I would put it. Oh, God, was that awful. Going off his back foot with the game on line. You suck if you make that throw. Jesus, that was awful.
Do you think he was trying to throw it out of bounds?
I don't.
Me neither.
No, you know but what?
Drew,
no, I don't.
Drew would have got it there, by the way.
yeah, no, see, I don't think his arms.
I don't think he was, because I don't think the angle agreed. Would suggest that he was trying to throw it out of bounds.
Agreed. He was trying to give Gronkowski and Edelman both a chance.
Yeah, I think he was.
It was a prayer. It
what
was
a horrible play. Horrible. And again, consecutive weeks from him that at that time. So this we're turning back the clock here a little because it's been a while. But you go back to the Miami game at the end of the half. He lets the clock run out. And then that play in Pittsburgh in consecutive weeks.
And then the Buffalo game, which again, I'm not going to count. But if you just want to add it to your diatribe here, he was horse crap against Buffalo.
But the bad game thing I can almost live with easier. The situational stuff is the stuff that they excel at.
It's so striking to see him because he never does those sorts of things, and there's so few. And that's what made that two-week stretch. Both of those games were as much about the mental part of it as anything physical.
Oof.
But I also think, and I agree with you, Mike, you sort of, you know, we're looking at Buffalo and the Jets, and Buffalo wasn't a great performance. The Jets was a great performance, but we're eliminating. I do like some of the stuff, and we talked Sunday night about this, that Brady did, at least in the first half, the first quarter and a half or so, moving around, giving guys some time to get open. It wasn't just that first look, it's not there, I'm just going to throw it away, or, you know, there wasn't really any of that turning away from throws mm-hmm. that we had sort of fixated on, right? I thought it was a little bit better. I'm not going to get lost in it. It was going to be through for 250 yards. I mean, it was a good, solid day. It wasn't vintage Brady, but it was better than what we had seen the last month.
I thought Curran wrote some good things after that Pittsburgh game about Brady. And I take notice when Curran writes it because he's a Brady guy, as most everybody is. But, you know, when he's critical of Tom, it catches my attention. He wrote, and again, Maz and I were off after the Pittsburgh game, so we're going back to some of this stuff today. Curran writes on Brady, he's disconcerted by the buzzing pass rush. Disconcerted. His fundamentals sometimes come undone when there's no threat at all. Roll back the final play of the game and watch how he bails out to his left and curls away from presumed contact. This was the last play against Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you go back and watch some of this, Maz? Watch. Go back on your special.
I remember the play, though.
On your special app. You know, this was a play that Gordon sat out.
Correct.
They put in Cordarrelle Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson was actually open on a deep in cut in the end zone. Brady threw it in the middle to Gronkowski. And Edelman, I think, were both there as well. But yes. Watch how he dives out of the way against no one coming against him. No one. There was no one there. And he totally dove out of the way. So Curran writes that, you know, he points that out. He says, look at the throw last week, meaning the week before against Miami, in the second half to Cordarrelle Patterson that sailed toward the cheerleaders. Or the rush throw to Chris Hogan against Miami. Or the decision to throw to the end zone on 3rd and 15 during the final drive in Pittsburgh. When James White was pretty much alone on the left side, ready to pick up a few and get a fourth and manageable with the clock running. He says, what Brady's 2018 performance underscores is just how necessary his round the clock, round the calendar, drag everyone with him to the mountains, football is life approach really was to ensuring he was without peer. Because without that, he's got a lot of peers this year. So you know why I'm reading that, because that suits my agenda that I've been on all year. But he goes right back to what this underscores is that as Brady has dialed back what he's put into it, he's getting less out of it. It's pretty simple when you think of it.
Sure.
And so when Curran does that, I don't know, I just...
Particularly as you get older.
Suits my agenda, so I read it, and I saved it.
And on that final play, there's no question. He totally spins out to his left without anyone near him. I mean, there's no question about it.
Crazy, right?
It, when you watch it in that context and you say, what the hell is he doing there? Like, you really examine that? There's no excuse for it. It's awful.
Okay, so Curran writes on that. I have one for Curran to suit your agenda, Maz. I'll take care of you, too.
Thank you.
Curran writes that Brady has withstood plenty of head-on punishment this season without flinching. His toughness, if it even needs to be said, is beyond question. But self-preservation instincts in the face of the pass rush are also part of the position. And as a result, plays like the final one Sunday in Pittsburgh or before halftime in Miami aren't seen as singular instances, but as part of a body of evidence. Evidence of what, Maz?
Injury.
He writes, evidence of decline.
Oh.
Evidence of the Patriots' affinity for Jimmy Garoppolo and consternation about having to trade him and that being well-founded. Evidence that maybe Brady's aspiration of playing until 45 is not realistic. And of course, that evidence then leads to a discussion of the future of the NFL's greatest dynasty. Brady's role in it, Belichick's opinion on Brady's role in it, what's next, who's here, who's gone, and what it all means.
Do you want to bathe in those paragraphs, man?
Yeah, in fact,
he's talking about the end of the whole thing based on Brady's play unraveling.
Who needs porn when you got that? Like, just give me that so I can take it home with me tonight. Look,
Patriots Forum.
I know it comes off as anti-Brady. I know that. Look, Brady's the greatest football player in the history of the league. Like, to call him the best quarterback in the history of the league, I think undersells it. I think he's that good. He's been that good. I just think it's largely a math equation, for crying out loud. I look at it and say, you got the next guy. He's 26 years old. The coach loves him. It worked when he was on the field. And you're going to let him go? Like, for a second round pick? After you wouldn't take four firsts?
So you really went back to the Garoppolo take?
Then? I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Did. Full on, reset the whole thing.
I just think it was such a mistake. It was such a huge mistake.
In case you've missed it over the last year and a half. There it is.
Can I still ask you this?
They couldn't pay him. They didn't get enough for him.
What would you do with Brady? What would you have done? So obviously you would have
franchise Garoppolo.
And then...
I would have had a franchise Garoppolo.
And then how are you gonna pay Tom? Because you couldn't pay the backup more than
that's $40 million when it's all said and done. Both Garoppolo's money and what you'd have to increase.
And Brady would have been the quarterback.
Seeing you guys are taking the cheese on this now.
And Brady would have been the quarterback. So now you have a completely pissed off backup quarterback under a franchise tag who still can't play.
You've brought us back 16 months.
I have, yeah. It's a gift.
I get the Garoppolo side. I do. No one's ever really explained to me how it works.
I believe that Bill Belichick wanted a franchise.
I know, but they weren't practically going to. Robert was not going to reach into his pocket for $40 million real dollars to keep a backup.
So let's play it for.
Forget the cap.
You like to say scratching an itch.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so let's say how this whole season unfolds exactly the way it did. Now what do you do? Franchise tag it up. We franchising him again?
Sure.
I'd like to say that the cap is crap.
You want my honest opinion?
But I mean, at some point, there is a cap.
Okay, so fine. But you want my honest opinion?
At some point, there's a budget.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So look, I hear what you're saying, though. Brady hasn't been hurt, but I'm willing to bet that somewhere along the line this year, we'd have seen Jimmy Garoppolo.
You think you would have yanked Brady?
I'm not telling you how or what have happened, but I'm telling you at some point along the line, Jimmy Garoppolo is going to play better than Brady.
The only thing you could say is that Brady would have been here all spring.
If they franchise Garoppolo.
Well, that's a given.
He probably would have played better.
And that whole thing that Curran just said, that, you know, take no prisoners, 24/7, eat, sleep, drink, crap football, take everybody to the mountains.
Sure.
Brady would have been still doing that, and he would have been better because of it. Okay? He put less into it, so he's getting less out of it. That's my agenda. Yours is the Garoppolo agenda. But here's where they would have been, Paul. You could have made an easier decision on Brady coming off of this kind of year versus last year. You can't trade the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
But could you trade someone who is now 41 and looks again to be in decline again, small D? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's a little easier this
year.
I know what
you're saying, and I would look at it as I think Bill could, but I don't think that Robert and Jonathan
And I agree
wild.
With that, too.
And again, I don't think they're wrong. I do think that there are times in sports where some guys are just different.
I don't.
I never wanted to see Larry Bird play somewhere else, and I never want to see Tom Brady play somewhere else.
I used to think that way. That was 30 years ago. I don't think that way anymore. Now they all go.
Back when you didn't hate so much.
They all go.
You hate everything.
There is no loyalty anymore. It's gone. The franchise guy doesn't exist till the very end. It's gone. It's over. So you know what? Sorry, you move on. You go to the next guy. That's the way it is.
We continue with your thoughts with Paul Prill. You can weigh in on this if you want. Long commercial-free segment is next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
With 16 seconds to go, he takes the snap, he drops to the knee, and the New England Patriots have won their 500th game as a franchise. They're bound for the divisional round of the AFC playoff tournament with a bye for the ninth straight year. With their win over the New York Jets in resounding fashion, 38-3.
Maz, what did you just say?
I said there should be a rule that if you go 11-5 and end up with a bye, you have to give it back.
So like, two teams in one division should end up with a bye? It should be the Chargers?
Well, I'm just telling you that.
I actually agree with that.
Yeah, there's people who want to do that.
I think it should be seeded by record, but there should not be a threshold record to get the bye. If you have one of the top two in the conference, you get the bye. I'm not on board with Tony.
I'm just telling you, if you get five losses in that league and end up with a bye, boy, do you have a horseshoe wedged up there.
See, that to me is the epitome of what's happened to Patriots fans over 20 years. Like, now 11-5 is a terrible record.
Not terrible.
Are you kidding me?
But it's not terrible, but it's not what we're accustomed to.
Yeah, I didn't say terrible.
Well, just because it's a game worse than what they usually are doesn't mean it's like cause to give the bye back.
I'd say two games worse.
No. I'm going to let them keep the bye.
Thanks, Mike.
That's Maz. As far as I'm concerned, they can have it. I'm not going to rewrite the rule book.
I'd return it. I'd be embarrassed to have that bye.
Oh, for God's sakes.
But 11-5 in this division, that conference, I mean, other Patriots teams, this would be a 13-14 win team.
They lost at Detroit. They lost at Tennessee. Like, ugh. When do the Patriots ever lose those games?
No, they're good. They're good. They're just, I don't think they're great. I don't think they're great. And it's going to catch up to them. I can never predict the individual game. But I don't feel it's their year. What can I tell you? Let's wrap up with some calls here for Paul Perillo. Nick and Rehoboth. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, so I think the most dangerous team, honestly, is going to be the Chargers. They're like sneaky good. Plus, they have an awesome defense. Between Bosa and Ingram rushing in, I don't think Brady has a shot when it comes to that.
Okay, thoughts, Paul? Chargers?
I agree. That's the team that I want to see the least. Now, I don't think that any of the teams are unbeatable, and I think that they could lose to each of them as well. That's the difference to me is I never felt this game, for the most part, over the last 10 years was losable. The division round, Tennessee last year, please. I mean, were we really even analyzing the game? Does double bye, right? You know, Tim Tebow, Broncos teams. Those are the teams that the Patriots have played. I think any of these three teams can come in here and
win. Not because they're great teams, because the Pats have come back to the pack.
Yeah, but I also think they're good teams. They're good, solid teams, but the Pats have definitely come back to the
Baltimore field. Still scares me for some reason. I don't know what that is. And I'm sorry, just quickly as an aside, is there a more overrated player in the league than Joey Bosa?
Oh, I think he's really good.
He's good.
Oh, God. I think he's overrated. Oh, do I? I don't know.
Hairbag in Green Bay. He's the most overrated player.
He's dumb.
Hairbag?
Yeah, but you know who I mean.
Yeah, Clay linebacker. Matthews.
Yeah. Oh. Forgot the name.
I think
a lot of
sucks.
Travel here the last couple of weeks, but brain's mush.
I just don't even think anybody rates him highly anymore. That's all.
I've just never heard the term hairbag. Mark in Acton. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. Paul, this is a question for you. Let's say the secondary plays great and the guys up front do like a half decent job getting pressure. Do you think a team could really come in here and run the ball 25, 30 times and beat us truly using a running back? Or is that even possible in today's NFL? I'll take your thoughts off the air.
Yeah, I am not a big advocate of trying to win the game by running the ball. Now, Baltimore would be a little bit of an exception because it's not necessarily the running game. It's the running quarterback. So I don't think you can win doing that either, but I don't think you can. If you can't throw the ball and you can't put points on the board, and I know the Patriots' offense isn't as good as it has been, but I think you're going to have to score points to beat the Patriots in Foxborough. You're not going to beat them 13-10. at Gillette Stadium.
So you don't think Baltimore can come in here and win?
I don't. I know.
Let me up it a little bit. 17-14.
Yeah, I don't see the Patriots coming away with 14 points in a playoff game at home. Now, that could happen on the road, no doubt. And it's weird, right? We have been talking about history a lot this year. This just doesn't seem like a Patriots team. And people will tell you, well, you know, the Patriots lost this game in that week this year. Then they went on to win the Super Bowl. We keep saying you can't rely on history. Without history, you'd think this Patriots team wasn't very good, right? Now, all of a sudden, everybody's going, but Baltimore, they're scary. They're not afraid of you. And they're not. Like, they've come into Foxborough and they've won. But this isn't the same team. This is a guy, a rookie quarterback, who, by the way, rookie quarterbacks have never beaten Belichick in Foxborough. And this is going to be the time on read options? That's what they're going to do?
Maz?
Yeah. No chance.
How did Baltimore beat him in 09 here?
Do you want to know why?
They ran the ball.
The team was in complete and utter disarray. Wes Welker tore his ACL the week earlier. That was their only offense that year, and they got killed.
Okay, and
that's all.
And Murray, what year would you compare this year's team to?
2009.
There you go.
See, that's crazy. I don't think there's any comparison between 2009. That 2009 team was completely dysfunctional.
Well,
they didn't
kinda
try.
Sucked, and this team kind of sucks. So how about 2013?
You know what 2009 was? You're Packers, the way you're describing
it. Right, better.
Plenty of talent.
How about a less dysfunctional but still kind of sucky team that won't make the Super Bowl, 2013?
That's closer to the bone.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that might be talent-wise.
Right, see?
Yeah.
We're all
the 2009 team had players. They just didn't play together.
All right, more a-holes than good players.
Right.
And so 2013.
Can't get this team to play the way I want them to play. Right? They didn't have any of that drive and toughness.
Paul, on your way out the door, give me a thought on this this weekend's action.
I like the Colts. I'm taking the Jim Murray cheese on the Colts.
I think
they're going to go to Houston and win, and I think the Chargers are going to go to Baltimore and win, and we're going to see the Chargers come here in 2 weeks.
Aha. Uh-huh. So you like the roadies?
I do, which is probably pretty scary.
I'm telling you, I think they're all good games. I mean, all across the league, I think all four games are good matchups.
Should be, right? Seattle-Dallas.
Seattle-Dallas is a good game. Philly-Chicago's a good game. I mean, and I mean good matchups. Yeah. Like, you look at it and go, I can see that one going either way.
Chicago's impressed me down the stretch. I didn't think that much of them. I wasn't overly impressed when they played the Patriots. You know, the sloppiness, the kick return, the block punt return. But, you know, down the stretch,
they
manhandled the Rams that night.
The last game against Minnesota.
And they killed them. That game wasn't competitive. Right. They crushed them.
That game, to me, is more a reflection on the Vikings.
Them where, Maz, beginning?
Vikings?
Yeah.
I had them in New Orleans in the Super Bowl, Murray, so go pound sand. Okay, just to be clarified, New Orleans, San Diego is what I had in the Super Bowl. I do. His mind's alive.
Only when it's still alive, right?
All right, Paul, thanks for coming in, kid.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week.
See you next Wednesday. Meanwhile, folks, we got all our Patriots stuff. This has been a reentry Wednesday. Maz and I have been off for 2 weeks or so. We were on yesterday from South Bend doing a lot of Bruins. So today we're focusing on all of our pent-up Patriots stuff from the last couple of weeks, Celtics stuff from the last couple of weeks. And the Celtics, to me, again, I'll just say remain. I think that's a fascinating story, almost the biggest story in Boston. The Celtics were I thought the Celtics were going to be the second most popular team in town right now. And we're going to be, you know, we'll have taken over the town. I would have thought by this point, especially when you see what's played out in the West with Golden State. You know, we all had Boston Golden State in the finals. And you know what? If you had done what you were supposed to from the Celtics end, do you understand what the talk would be right now, given how Golden State has struggled out of the gate? You'd be saying,
you have a shot.
This is a championship team. If the Celtics had just done what you thought, you're looking right now at a championship. And whether that's realistic or not, I'm just telling you what the perception
is. Sure, that's right.
The story would be that
the door was open.
We're everything that we thought we were going to be, ready to go, right there on the precipice, and Golden State's taking a step back, and this is now a championship year. Not an NBA Finals year, it's a championship year. That's what we all thought. And now 3 months later, you're a 5 seed, and you've been stuck there for a month, you're a 5. And I'm sorry, if you open up on the road, you're 1 and done. You're 1 and done. I know the Christmas Day game, that was a fun day. Great game against the Sixers. You know, they closed it out. But I looked at that game and said, these teams are even. These teams are even, Steven. That was a make-miss at the end of the game to determine that ball game. And so we all had you were supposed to blow by the Sixers. They're supposed to be in the rearview mirror by now. And now you're even up with the Sixers? If you're the 5 seed, they're the 4? I may have to pick the Sixers in that first round.
See, I still think they get by Philly, but I don't think they
as
get
a road team.
Yeah, because I think Philly is a I think there's a choke element there, and you know how I feel about the Sixers. I love their talent.
I'm just telling you, this is out of nowhere, completely unexpected, and to me, fascinating that you are 20 minutes away from the NBA Finals last year without Kyrie Irving. Then you add Kyrie Irving, who's having an MVP caliber season, and you've gotten worse. How does that happen? Now, everyone said, well, just wait till they add Irving and Hayward. Wait till they wait adding in Irving and Hayward. Wait till they add these guys. Well, you've added them and you've gotten worse. How is that possible? How do you add those two kind of players, especially Kyrie Irving? And Hayward's, you know, still hurt. I get it. But Irving is playing at an MVP level and you've gotten worse. How? Why? How has that happened? So that's something we hit on earlier. We can circle back to it now that Paul's out of the building. 617-779-0985. Your phone's on all the above. Right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.